Let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, open up our hearts and our minds so we might become more like the poor widow who gave out of a heart filled with your love. In your name, amen. I never knew John's net worth. Not that his financial doings were any of my business. But John, not his real name, had to have been a multimillionaire. Now, he was a former member of a congregation that I served in, by far our largest contributor. John owned franchises in an international moving company in Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, Indianapolis, St. Louis, and Chicago. And he also owned real estate investment firms in each of those cities. Well, whatever his financial net worth, you would never know it by how he lived his life. He had a nice car, and he drove, and he dressed very nicely. But it was his home that was the biggest mystery. You might imagine that he might live in an exclusive subdivision. He'd have this huge mansion with acres of land, and maybe even an army of small army of employees to take care of everything. But that wasn't the case. He lived in a middle-class suburb. He had a modest ranch home, and it wasn't any different than any of his neighbors. See, whatever his financial bank balance, he didn't know it by the way he lived. As we look at our gospel text, I suppose John could fit in with those other rich men in the temple treasury. He did give large contributions to the church and the greater church. One profound difference. The other men didn't give with a heart that shows their love for God. They gave to show off their wealth. Now, in the Temple of Jerusalem at that time, there was an outer courtyard that was, well, it was called the Woman's Court. And in that courtyard, there were 13 large metal trumpet-shaped receptacles where the offerings were received. Now, those receptacles, they were in plain view, and the clinking, clanking noise of the gifts could be heard, and they advertised the individual's gifts. And what happened with this kind of setup was this competition, kind of one person trying to out-clinking and clanking the other person and announce their value in which they are giving far more. And we had this kind of competition in giving of one's wealth. Well, John definitely wasn't one of those people. He gave out of a heart that was filled with love for the Lord. He gave because he knew that one of the ways he could serve our Lord is by giving financially. Now, over the years, I've met a few people like John. Another person that I remember very clearly stated that God had given him the gift to make money, and he was very successful in business. Then he said that God gave him the gift of making money so that he could give a greater proportion of his wealth, gave to the places that had a greater need. See, in many ways, those two people lived what Christ said in Luke 12:48. He said, "To whomever much is given, of them much will be required. And to whoever much has been entrusted, of them much will be asked." Now, as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, we are also asked to give a portion of our income to help support the ministry of the church. And it really is a blessing when we're able to do that. Now, we aren't asked to give a greater proportion than those rich folks that I had mentioned, but we are to give out of a heart that loves the Lord. That's exactly the way the poor widow gave her gifts. You know, I don't think any of us would blame her if she chose on that particular Sunday to give only one of the two coins. Or maybe deciding not to give anything at this point and give it at some other time. But instead, she gives all that she has out of love and trust to God. I remember visiting Hattie my freshman year of college. I was in a class that had the title of Christian Mission in the Urban Setting. And I was sent by the professor to visit Hattie, who was confined to a wheelchair and was homebound. She lived in the South Bronx. I remember being absolutely petrified as I drove that bus from downtown New York City up to the South Bronx, which at the time was one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the country. But I also had another fear. What was I, as an 18-year-old, going to say that gives any kind of encouragement to Hattie? What words of God's love could I possibly share with her? You know, that turned out to be one of the most uplifting and inspiring visits I have ever made. For someone who was homebound, who was living in utter poverty, she had such a positive attitude. She was filled with such joy, a joy that God had given her. I remember that she was joking that if someone were to break into her apartment to steal something, that they better bring something with them because she had nothing for them to steal. She didn't have much, but she had a love of Jesus. She and that poor widow, well, they were very much alike. They had the same heart for living and giving. They filled with a tremendous love, and they gave from their heart. Now, some people, whether they are wealthy or not, they give by calculating the payoff. They give according to their budgets, but there are budgets that, for the most part, are set to take care of their own needs first, to take care of their families. There are also budgets that very often take care of their wants as well, giving all before giving to the Lord. That was like the rich men in the temple. They gave without truly realizing the value of what God had given them first. There was a 12-year-old who resented all the chores that his mother had given him to do. He had to cut the lawn one day and babysit his smaller sister, and he had to clean up his room. And in righteous indignation over the injustice that his mom had put him through, he was going to bill her for all of his activities. So he gave her a bill. Mowing the lawn, $8. Babysitting, $5.75. Room cleaning, $5.25. Various errands, $2.60, for a total due of $21.60. He gave the bill to his mother, and mom, well, she took that bill with great wisdom. She accepted it graciously, but she didn't say anything. Well, the next morning when he came to the table to have his breakfast, on his plate was his bill. But on the other side, there was another bill, and it read as following. Room and board since birth, $101,000. Nursing, medical, dental care since birth, $45,000. Taxicab service and entertainment for 12 years, $13,000. Clothes and laundry for 12 years, $15,000. For a total due of $174,000. The boy looked at both bills, and rather coolly he said, "Let's just call it even." How much does the Lord give us? You know, we can't calculate the value of what He's given through our creation of our planet. I mean, if we would try to put a number to all of God's gifts, we put it into a financial statement, well, how many zeros would there be after that first number? The creation isn't the only gift that God has given. It's not the only thing of great value that we have been blessed with. I mean, ask yourself, what type of price tag could you put on the cross? What's the value of Jesus' blood shed for us? How much does it cost to use a borrowed tomb? And what profit is gained from an empty tomb? The profit is the grace of God, is the forgiveness of our sins. It is the new life through Christ's death and resurrection that we have been granted. Those are costs that you and I cannot pay for. But Jesus paid the price for us out of great love. Poor widow gives us a wonderful example of giving from the heart. Wonderful example of recognizing God's gifts and returning out of great love. It's an example, actually it's a challenge for us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.